Welcome to another episode of Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and game masters to design perfect characters through imperfection. We cover all forms of game design, from interesting and engaging backstory creation to campaign and NPC development. Enjoy, remember to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to our Christmas episode. But unlike Christmas episodes past, today we're going to talk about something a little spooky, a little scary. But as always, we're still going to focus it around story-driven campaigns. Wishing you a very happy holidays. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Steve.
Steve is not wishing you a very happy holiday. No, I'm
joking. I wasn't sure if you were to continue there. You made it sound like you just wanted me to say my name.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Yeah, happy holidays. Not scuffed.
Not scuffed at all. It's fantastic. No. This is great.
So, this is fine. This is great. Everything's good.
So, yeah, we are here right before Christmas.
Yep. A couple days before Christmas.
Very true. Very true. Are you in the spirit, Steve?
In the spirits, I mean, or Lord, you mean, or?
Well, I, as I've mentioned in past Christmas shows, am often accused of being a Grinch, I believe is the technical term.
Oh, yeah.
And so I believe you are a little bit more on the Christmas side, though. You're really more of a Thanksgiving man, I believe.
I'm more of a Thanksgiving person, yeah. Yeah, Thanksgiving's I don't know. I feel like it's just better. Food, variety of food. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Halloween. So
variety of candy.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Okay. Precisely.
Okay.
Not that I don't love a good gingerbread person.
Oh god, yeah. It is sad that it's hard to find good gingerbread.
The gingerbread people at Trader Joe's, they're like little gingerbread cookies, quite good.
Oh, okay. I'll have to see if I can find those.
Some white fudge frosting. Yeah. My wife was just like, why didn't you get another box? And I was like, oh, are we almost through the two I already got? She's like, yes. Admittedly, like one of those boxes was definitely me. So I should have known. But yeah. Yeah, we've also been playing a little bit.
Yeah, we've been playing Burning Wheel and a little bit of Your Kids on Bikes prior to that.
I think we mentioned The Kids on Bikes.
Oh, okay. Like, I thought we did, but maybe we didn't. But yeah.
Hear it in one of the next couple episodes.
Yeah.
Dear listener, that was to you, not Steve. You listen. Okay. Scuff. The scuff is real.
Yeah, it's real. I think they understood the first time. You didn't have to reiterate.
But yeah, yeah. We played some Burning Wheel. I feel kind of bad for you in Burning Wheel.
I mean, it's kind of like just where I put myself, in all honesty, because like I, you know, like put myself as like a guard for somebody. So it's kind of like, you know, I've got to stay and like guard him. And yeah, I don't know. It's like my character's also not the type to like go out and just like socialize and talk to all those people. He's more of like a fly in the wall type person. So,
yeah, Nick's really gotta get more like outgoing. Because he did the hey, you head into, like, we just arrived at an encampment. You head into the middle of this encampment. A, we really don't know what, like, the areas of these encampments look like, which would probably help with us, like, doing stuff. But he did introduce, like, a bunch of characters that we could go interact with.
Yeah.
And my character is... Even my character, and I have a very outgoing character. Like, I am developing, like, my own entourage of, like, little helpers.
It's true.
I'm just like, and I'll take that NPC, and that NPC, and that NPC. But even I, at first, was like, okay, I'm seeing this. But even I'm not really, like, super clear on, like, what I'm meant to be doing with this information. Like, it's just like, you just get these people and their looks and not really a lot about what they're doing. And I just wanted to, I just felt like there could have been a little bit more. I felt like he planned too much about the encounter that happened later involved only Steve's character, kind of the only thing you got to do.
Yeah.
And like the build up to it, but everything else felt a little like, I don't know. I felt the session could have been done in about half the time.
That's actually what I was going to say as well, because like the way that he set it up is essentially like we walk into this camp and there's a bunch of people eating and you see a bunch of different groups of people and they're all eating and you get the feeling that like everyone has like some motive other than the caravan that they're on. Like you can
Which is good.
Yeah, which is good. You just get that vibe. It's almost like a scene in a movie where you walk in and you're just like, oh God, you know, like what the heck's going to happen here? But
yeah, it's the Cantina aliens.
Yeah.
But in the Cantina alien scene, they don't interact with any of the Cantina aliens, really, except for Ponda Baba and Dr. Evanson.
Yep.
That's Star Wars Episode 4. Sorry.
Yeah, not that you hear their names in the movie, but yeah, that's their names.
Yeah, the two guys. One guy gets his arm chopped off in A New Hope. But it was very much like that, where I was like, okay, we're seeing all this stuff. And I knew he wanted us to interact. And I was just like, I just still don't know, like, that there's even enough here for my super outgoing character to really want to, like, talk to people, you know?
Yeah, I was like, I could have had like my character talk to like Miranda or whatever, just because like she's like, you know, like warrior type or something like that. I was like, I could probably do that, but I just like, I don't see a reason why at this point. Like, I don't know this person yet, so there's like no reason to. And it's like, I'm not gonna go and, you know, talk with the shady people or whatever.
Or the hooligans, the band of orc warriors, the guy who's dressed strangely, who was the one that Trong and I ended up going over to, who then was like, oh, hey, cool, I'm a later quest, bye. I was like, Nick, not helping here, not helping your cause. So it was very interesting. I do think you need to read the room. I always have in mind. Like, I'm like, okay, here are my characters. Here's what they do. Okay, I'm going to plant a little hook here, a little hook here, a little hook here, a little hook here for, you know, one or two for each character, sometimes two for the quieter characters. And like, man, I don't know. I was trying to pay attention. I was like, okay, I understand the very clear hooks for my character, because the one guy we went up to is wearing like cool fabrics. My character makes clothes. Awesome. Trong's character does workings. This guy's wearing a cool mask. Awesome. Literally don't know what we're supposed to get from any of the others. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I feel like he might have put like the hooligans there as like, because I'm like an outlaw, kind of. Sort of, not really.
But that's the other, you're not really though. Like, we give you shit about it in character. But like, playfully, I don't even think your character hears like the little like jokes and stuff and goes, oh fuck those guys, they actually think I'm mean and evil. Like, our characters don't even like think that, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't want to, I know we're starting off like bashing on someone. I had fun. Eventually I was just at the very start, I was like, what's going on? And I felt bad for Steve, because Steve definitely didn't have a ton of hooks. He got to play like at the start and at the end, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it happens sometimes. It's not a huge deal. I think like the biggest thing that like was like a problem for me, I mean, not really a problem, just like more like irritating, was just the system's sheer amount of charts and tables for things.
Oh God, we had three really long, really unnecessary rules diversions.
Yeah. I mean, they're mostly because of me, but I mean, I needed to know information that I didn't have. And it's just like, wait, how does advancement work? And it's like, oh, here's this chart on how you like develop a skill. I'm like, what the, why is there a chart? Why is it not simple?
I would love if we have any Burning Rules fans, roimperfection@gmail.com. Would love to hear about why it's awesome. If you're a Burning Wheel fan who does the simplified mouse guard rules, that I understand. The mouse guard rules are fucking elegant and crisp and makes so much sense. Playing with the actual Burning Wheel rules, I'm like, oh, this is like if someone was like, okay, I have developed this elegant machine, and then someone was like, but wait, we could add a bunch of extra shit to it.
Yeah, it's not thorough enough. It's not realistic enough. We need to make this like more realistic in how you develop things.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. Going backwards is definitely not how I probably should have done it, but
yeah.
Oops, I love Mouse Guard.
I don't know if you would have tried Mouse Guard if you'd started with Burning Wheel first, though, would you?
Ooh, I love Mouse Guard enough. I feel like I would have at least looked at it. Also, it would have been like, the rules are like, God, compared to Burning Wheel, they're like 5%?
Yeah.
Maybe? And they're filled with drawings? Like, oh God. Recommendation for Mouse Guard again. If you have a gamer who you think would have some fun with Mouse Knights against the savage harshness of a brutal and massive world, you should get the Mouse Guard because it's amazing. They don't have to have read the comics. If they read Redwall as a child, Brian Jock's Redwall, it works. You can just go. Steve has never read a Mouse Guard comic, correct?
Nope. I've read a couple of Redwall books, though.
Yes. And it worked fine for you, right?
Yep, it works just fine, yeah. I mean, I feel like you don't even need that, in all honesty. It's also a really quick...
It just helps.
Yeah, it helps. It's also like a really quick like pick up and go. I mean, I don't want to use this term, but it's the thing that just keeps popping in my head, and I can't think of another way to describe it. It is kind of board gamey in setup. Like, you basically just like, oh, here's like the basic things you can do, and then you just like decide what you want, and then you go. And it takes like 10 minutes, 15 minutes to set up. So
yeah.
If you have a story in mind or something like that, then it's really quick to set up. I think even in story, you just literally be winter is happening, survive.
Winter is happening. You're separated from your village. Get home. Winter is happening. You've lost a convoy of much needed grain. Your guard is sent out to find and get the grain back.
Don't get eaten by an owl.
Yeah. And then it's literally just like pick your critters you want to see. Don't send an owl after them their first game. Holy shit. sorry. Owl equals like, oh God, what, whatever the highest level dragon is. That's like, an owl. In
oh, okay. Dragon. I was going to go with like a Grim Reaper because it's just like, whoop. Yeah. No, Billy's gone. He's just gone.
owls will wreck your team unless they know what they're doing. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. We've done like a protracted intro now.
Oh, yeah, true.
As I shill Mouse Guard. We are actually not sponsored by Mouse Guard. We are only sponsored by Mouse Guard in the fact that my heart is sponsored by Mouse Guard because I love it so much. Anyway, we are doing some horror for Christmas. And I'm not going to lie, I have wanted to do this one for a little while.
Any chance to get more Halloween, he's in.
That's true. That is accurate. But yeah, I do think, actually, I very seriously, dear listeners, romperfection@gmail.com, if you're like surprised by this topic, I kind of feel like our listeners are like, oh yeah, totally. But I could be wrong, I suppose. The idea of horror for Christmas is not new. It's not original. I usually think of like a collection of movies, personally.
Yeah, including, pretty much.
Yeah, Black Christmas, 1974. Great slasher movie. Check out our slasher episode. Gremlins, 1984. Solid movie. Great year. Right, Steve? Great year.
Yep, great year. Don't feed your pets after midnight.
True, true. Krampus, 2017. I don't know if you've seen this one, Steve. Were you there for this one?
No, I was not.
Okay. We'll talk about the Krampus in just a second. I really like that adaptation of it. It's got a really cool theme. It's just very... It's like not the greatest movie, but it's very well done. You know, I would say all of these movies are like good examples. And then, of course, a new one introduced to me by my wonderful co-host here. Right, Steve?
Oh, yeah. And I just realized I actually had seen Krampus.
OK.
I looked it up real quick. It's like, oh, yeah, I think I have seen this. But yeah, there's Love, Death and Robots, which is a show. It's on Netflix. They have like a bunch of like individual episodes that are completely unrelated to each other. And one of them they have is a horror Halloween one. And I'm not going to say much more because it's very short. It's like 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah, very brief.
But it's really good.
Yeah, it's called All Through the House.
Yep. I'm sorry. I should say good.
Yes, you should. That will make sense if you've seen the episode.
Yes.
A strong recommend from both of us.
Yes. I think you should show your wife. I think she would hate you and me.
I'm going to show my wife.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. So, having said all that, how do we distill that, right? This is what we do. This is essentially a genre episode. How do we distill all that for our RPs? Right, because you've got essentially two things going on. You've got the horror genre, and you've got the Christmas genre. And you've got to kind of like pick and choose and blend together both of those. So it's essentially like a genre mashup, but you gotta pick a balance. Sometimes you're going to balance more for horror. Sometimes you're going to balance more for Christmas. So, yeah. The perhaps easiest way is to pick a Christmas-themed monster. You could go the Calvin and Hobbes route of deranged mutant killer snowman.
Okay.
That's a good Calvin and Hobbes joke. Also, sometimes you gotta kill it.
All that made me think of was Clay Fighter. Thanks.
Oh, true. But the most classic one is, of course, the Krampus. Yep. And the Krampus is, I think I've said this in like one of our monster episodes before. I do have a fondness for the Krampus because he's kind of just like a devil goober who like does shit, you know?
A devil goober.
He is a devil goober. Hey, monster will approve of me calling the Krampus a devil goober.
True.
But yeah, he's essentially like an evil Santa, or sometimes he's Santa's like ally. Like they know each other. And Santa's like, oh yeah, I'm going to bring some presents. You punish the bad fucks. And the Krampus is like, cool, man. And you're like, what the hell? What the hell? I don't even know what's going on. But yeah, I think a story looking into that relationship could be interesting. You know, kind of the duality.
Yeah.
You got the good Santa, you got the bad Krampus. How does the good Santa let the bad Krampus run amok? And you know, if you're down for like your group's down for a little bit of a philosophical problem, I do strongly recommend.
You could also do something interesting. Either have Santa that turns into the Krampus in certain situations, or maybe Two-Face.
Body horror.
Oh yeah, body horror. Yeah, there you go.
We have a body horror. No, we have a biopunk episode.
You have biopunk, yeah.
We don't have a body horror episode. Yeah.
No, we don't. We have a bunch of episodes where we talk about the thing. So, I mean,
it's true. And in our Ravenloft extra episode, there's like a body horror section.
Oh, okay. Oh, I don't remember that, yeah. But yeah.
I only remember that. So, yeah. So the Krampus is a usually horned, fanged, dark furred, black, brown, fork-tongued, hooved critter. So he's basically like a goat monster, or like the, you know, the classic like satanic critter minus the boobs. Yours can have boobs if you want, though. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, you do you.
Yeah. Sometimes people have him somewhat dressed like Santa. It kind of depends on how like dark and or sarcastic you want to be. I feel like there's a line there that, you know, play to taste, I personally think. He tends to classically punish the bad by literally beating people with sticks, fair, or stealing and eating children. Or in the case of the movie, I think banishing them to, like, another dimension. Spoilers, kind of. I don't know that you can spoil that movie, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Cast them into hell or something? It's not clear. It's very cool, trust me. Even knowing that, the movie's still neat. But that's like the classic one. There's also the like Lowell's version of the Krampus, who is just like, you know, smack the kids on the wrist kind of Krampus, bring some coal like Krampus, who's like, hey, I'm not actually that bad. So
like a jester more than demon.
like more like if Santa Claus is coming and being like, oh, ho, ho, I'm so wholesome. Here's some presents. And then Krampus comes by and does a little bit of like razzing and does a little bit of like womp womp, you know?
A little bit of womp womp, yeah.
A little bit of womp womp. And I think that could play really well if you have kind of set up for your heroes that like the Krampus might actually be like a bad dude. And he's kind of not. And you have like an alternate bad dude. You pull like a secret Scrooge on them where it's actually like the counselor, blah, 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 who's trying to outlaw Christmas or something. I don't know. Christmas plots. Am I right?
Yeah. It's usually like, oh no, we can't celebrate Christmas anymore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh no, this evil capitalist is trying to further monetize Christmas. Sorry, that's my cynicism coming out again. But traditionally, he does have his own day, December 5th, Krampusnacht. Cool, where he just roams around apparently and like fucking gets kids.
Huh.
Yeah, you know, I think we need to have more sanctioned days for demons, right? Right? That'd be kind of a cool thing, though. Like, your party rolls up to a town. Fucking no one wants to come, like, come outside. No one wants to let them in. They're like, what the hell is going on? And then you find out it's just a day that, like, fucking demons, like, just roam about. Fucking taking people and, like, eating children.
Yikes.
These are the things I say, and I get, like, very worried responses from my players. I'm like, oh, this horrible thing would be cool. And they're like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's just like, oh, yeah, here's the things that are, like, in my mind. Just, like, a little peek, and it's like, those are all really bad. Am I going to have to go through something like that? And it's like, probably.
It's true. It's true. So, that's Krampus. He's easy. I'm pretty sure there is, like, a statted Krampus for both D&D and Pathfinder. I forgot to double check. But I will, I guess, try to link them in the show notes, maybe? You might have to have, like, things purchased on D&D Beyond or whatever, but I'll see what I can do.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So yeah, that's one way. Other good ideas, Yetis, always fun. Yetis in Santa suits, always fun. You can always just kind of throw anything in like a Santa suit or give it like a candy cane spear or something.
Now I'm imagining us doing like one of your Marvel games again, and then we're going to have like Green Goblin in a Santa outfit.
Okay, you know that's a thing, right?
I'm pretty sure that's a thing. That's probably why it popped in my mind, but I'm like, I don't know if that's real, but it's comic books. Literally everything's been done.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, there are some decent, oh man, maybe next year I have a comic book Christmas. We'll see how, the state of superhero media is doing, but, yeah, there's the monster dress up, holiday, thing. There's also, as I kind of got to, kind of the deeper bad side look at Christmas, you know, where you just think about all the things that are not great. And I know some people like float through a haze of gingerbread and dance through, you know, a gumdrop road and love Christmas music. I envy their resistance to sonic torture. But but not everyone experiences the holidays that way, right?
Yeah.
There is all the consumerism, how much it kind of pushes people to both expect gifts and like put pressure on people to like find like a perfect gift, you know?
Oh, yeah. And to like, oh, well, that's not sufficient. That's not a good enough gift for this person. You need to get them like this other thing that's like more expensive that they'll be wowed by. You want them to be surprised.
Exactly. This goes a little bit, well, this goes a little bit to Krampus, but it also goes to Gremlins. Part of Gremlins is that the person wants to market the Gremlin as like, you know, they're easy to mass produce. They're start off cute, but you know, can cause chaos. And you can do this with a lot of things. You could do this with like, you know, evil robot dolls, or if you want to go the body horror route, food that like has some unintended consequences. It can go in a lot of routes. And I think it's generally a good way to kind of, you know, if you want to have a little bit more interesting, offbeat Christmas style episode, it's not a bad idea, because there's like a lot of angles to like, oh, this thing where we kind of force people to purchase stuff might be bad, especially if the stuff you're purchasing is not necessarily good, right? Or doesn't have good outcomes.
Yeah. So,
yeah. I don't mean to give like an economic treatise, but
when you mentioned food, like that immediately made me think, I mean, I think it happens in winter, but it's not a Christmas movie. But that made me think of like Willy Wonka. Like you have like all these like foods that like do supernatural things to you. But yes, you mean like something like that?
You're 100% correct. And I'm pretty sure Roald Dahl wrote the book actually intended that kind of that way. So
oh, okay.
Yeah. No, that is a great call. Evil Willy Wonka.
Yeah, just come over here to my place and have some candy and some sweets and nothing will go wrong.
Some people might be like, isn't that just normal Willy Wonka?
I mean, he totally doesn't just like have, you know, like, you know, bubbles that will make you float up to a ceiling that has a giant fan that will totally murder you. What could go wrong?
Look, safety standards are for jerks and people who do not like Enterprise. Okay. All right. There is of course also the weather outside is frightful, thing that people seem to like glide over, you know, they go right to that fire is so delightful. I'm going to stay back on that, that weather being frightful thing. Cause Steve and I have mentioned, and, it's actually something I really need to do when I run my next session.
Of what?
Weather can be terrible. Weather can be bad. Session of Kids on Bikes.
We're going to have horrible weather. Uh-oh. This is news.
It's fall in Maine in that game.
I mean, I've never been to Maine, so I don't know what fall in Maine is like. So,
Mainerd listeners, I actually don't know if we have any. Northeast listeners, fall and winter, roimperfection@gmail.com. Send Steve your weather stories.
Uh-oh.
I will share them with him.
Uh-oh.
But generally, snow can be bad. I lived in South Korea for 2 years, and
I know where this is going already.
Snow is evil. You basically have like a couple of days where, oh, it's this like nice powdery stuff, and you know, you build your killer mutant snowmen, etc., like you do. And then the sun comes out, and it slightly melts everything, but not enough to like get rid of it. It just turns it into a death trap called ice. And then you have to wear spikes on your feet to get anywhere, because otherwise the ice will attempt to destroy and break every bone in your body. So
it's a good time. Okay. I thought that was just a Korea thing with like how the streets were, how they had like water.
No, I'm pretty sure it's just
it's just everywhere. That's just how it
just
is.
Just a cold thing. Unless you have like constant snow, in which case you get snowed in, which will also trap you.
Yeah, but hey, no school, woo! I don't know.
The idea of that can be combined with a terrible family.
Oh, yep.
Where your characters just get stuck with a terrible and potentially evil relative. If you want to soften it, you can have it someone who's recently married in and tricked your, you know, poor aunt, uncle, godfather, godmother, whatever, god person, into the family and is like trying to do that. Or, oops, your dad is evil. Always, always a good time. And by always, I mean, maybe be careful who you're doing this to. Because it can strike some real nerves.
For that topic, like, even though it's not really family, it's just something that, like, makes me think of that. Like, when you get stuck inside type of thing, is the, like, the movie Clue is, like, a murder mystery where essentially they get trapped inside this place in a storm and so they can't leave. And, you know, a murder happens. They have to figure out what's going on. So they can't, like, call for help or anything due to the storm. So you could totally have something like that if you don't want it to, like, specifically be, like, one character's family. I mean, it could be an issue with their family. Maybe their family's, like, really messed up. And the whole party ends up in, you know, this person's house and is stuck with the family. And you're like, whoa, you're kind of like the Addams family. What the heck's going on here? You're all really weird.
Yeah, you maybe actually think of another murder mystery, which I kind of, I like.
I think winter goes well with murder mysteries. All in winter.
Yeah. Amazing. I cannot for the life of me think of what that movie is. Oh, well, on with the podcast. So, yes, murder mysteries like Clue or whatever the one where the girl marries into the family of board game millionaires and she finds out that they play a game before anyone gets married into the family and things go crazy. Whatever that movie is, I'll probably try to find it and put it in the show notes now under my my other thing at the my Krampus stats. Like the other thing I was going to do. Yeah. So, terrible family. Definitely tied with murder mysteries. I think traffic jams could be an interesting one. There's an older thing of Doctor Who where it's literally an entire society has developed around everyone being stuck in a traffic jam. And
so like it takes place like on the street.
It's or yeah, on the it's like
or whatever.
It's Doctor Who, so it's like in the future with like floating cars and cat people. But
okay.
It's called Gridlocked. You find out it's through the machinations of like aliens that eat pollution. Don't worry about it. But you can also have something where your characters need to get from point A to point B, and due to a very busy holiday season, the streets are a mess, you know, or whatever it is a mess, right? And they've got to go stop something, or they've got to chase someone, and the holidays just make it like the worst, you know. The holidays provide all kinds of complications, people out, people angry, all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, so basically like all sorts of crazy events happen while you're in this traffic jam, and then when you finally do get to your destination after the quote-unquote adventure is over, you have an NPC ask the player, it's like, so how was your trip? And you just say, it was interesting. Movie exactly. End. Sorry.
You can also have some fun with the mail and mail congestion, where your characters are dealing with essentially like either someone sending out letters saying mean things or letters that send them to specific timed events. But due to the holiday, the letters are coming later and causing more pressure, you know?
Okay. So, how would you put that into an RPG though?
It's quite simple. You have your characters grounded somewhere in like a town, and it'd probably have to be like a known quantity, like a returning villain or a recurring villain or like a backstory villain character. Someone they know already, but someone who wants to either mess with them or mess with someone in the town whose letters are like driving suspicion against the party or against like one of the people the party cares about or one of the people who really helps things like keep running in the universe. And essentially they kind of have to track it down, but due to like the tremendous volume, it becomes even more difficult. Essentially, this one's a little bit more of like a trickier one to implement, but
okay.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any other thoughts on it. Sorry.
No worries. It is definitely one of the ones where I was like, I feel like I could kind of make it work. You'd have to go to, they're called poison pen letters back in the day. Essentially now it's just kind of devolved into like cyberbullying. But the mystique of old world mail definitely falls into, imagine mean tweets, but through the mail kind of.
Okay. See, I thought you were going to go with like, mail as in like delivering presents for Santa.
Or you could
like
do
that. Yeah. So I guess you could do something along those lines.
The classic Santa is laid up and you have to deal with like all the postal issues. No, I was thinking more something more like the film. This will not take me forever.
Oh, that just reminded me.
Yeah.
The
film Panic from 1940. No, the film Panic from 1946. I mentioned it in our noir episode, which you people still haven't watched. or listened to. But yeah, it's essentially where the town turns against one of its members, but this would essentially be because of like letters. So yeah. Anyway, sorry. What did that remind you of?
It reminded me of Futurama, because doesn't Futurama have like an evil Santa Claus robot that went out of control and it's like just murders people?
Yes.
So you'd have that delivering mail, as it were.
Delivering
presents. Oh yeah, Timmy was very bad.
Your players are forced to assume the Krampus role of deliver coal and beatings. Dark stuff. Good times. Speaking of dark shit, holiday depression is an actually real thing. And sorry to bring the thing down, but there is, of course, the classic Christmas that's less horror for Christmas and more just kind of Christmas of the party needing to cheer up either one of its members or like an NPC.
True.
Gotta help them through. Gotta get them through the holidays. And this can turn into schmaltz, but it can also be like pretty intense. So definitely read the room. Ask your players. Check. Make sure. Don't actually drive one of your friends into depression.
What is schmaltz? Is that what you said? You said schmaltz?
Schmaltz, yeah. It's when things get too sappy, too sugary, too like, oh, and then we showed them the true meaning of Christmas and we all laughed and drank hot cocoa.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you can if you want, you know.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
So, but yeah. So those are the real, actual horrors of Christmas. And kind of how you can filter them into your favorite holiday game, right?
Yep. I did want to mention one thing that I feel like you should be careful with, because I feel like it's something that does happen around the holidays, unfortunately.
Yes.
But just because, like, you know, sensitivity topics and stuff like that, you may be hesitant to do this in your game and have it be a focal point, as like, you know, family members dying and whatnot.
Oh, true.
So, like, that goes along with the holidays, but I don't recommend that being a focal point unless it's like, you know, like part of the plot, like a character dies because evil Krampus or something, you know.
Or make him really like bad.
Yeah, or like, make him like a villain or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Family disowning is a real thing. But some people do actually care about their families. I sometimes forget. Steve is here to help me remember. Didn't intend that to come out as harsh as it sounded, but
yeah,
that's okay. Naturally, there are also just the general murders and theft that can happen. Black Christmas is all about a serial killer who takes advantage of the fact that all these people are kind of isolated due to Christmas. Basically, they're like, they don't have family, so they're like stuck in a boarding house, you know. The house is mostly empty, but there are still, it's a sorority house actually, but there's still a few people there. And so, you know, big place, few people, good murdery thing. Once again, be careful. You can also do this kind of with theft, where due to the low amount of, officers, or guards or whatever, a person decides to take advantage of a holiday and break in somewhere. So, yeah. And feel free to mystery, fantasy, and science fiction. All of that. Everything set above up. You know. Have your Krampus dragon.
Or space Krampus.
Ooh.
Actually sounds pretty terrifying.
Your big twist is actually that Krampus is an alien. Well, you said space Krampus, and I immediately go to space Godzilla, which is just Godzilla, but with, like, crystals that shoot lightning.
Oh, really, yeah, dumb. I've seen that.
But you can make a cool space Krampus, dear listener. We believe in you.
It's got to be better than space Godzilla.
It does. Almost anything does.
Low bar.
Very low bar. But yeah, you got it. Do you have anything else? Or
Nope, I think we're good. So remember to play what you love. Until next time, may your characters do something epic.
While dodging the deranged killer snowman. And of course, space Krampus, who has raised the deranged mutant killer snowman.
Or his... traffic jam pollution consuming scheme.
Yes, yes, it's all
because the snowmen are tired of getting run over by cars.
Yes, and he's gonna turn all the kids that he steals into a baked Alaska somehow. I don't even know if that makes sense. Oh, but Kevin and Steve's cooking show reference right here at the end. Hell yeah!
Yeah, there you go. I was gonna say, have you had a baked Alaska or made one?
Steve, have I made a baked Alaska?
Well, I mean, it involves lighting it on fire, so I figured maybe.
Touche. No, I think I've eaten one.
Okay.
Podcast over.
I don't know. I didn't have anything else after that.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com. Or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.